Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Hello, people. I hope that the month of January serves as a resource to gather all of your deeply recessed strengths to dally forth in battle in our crusade to take back our lives. It's been a rough run for everybody. Everybody. It's been a particularly rough run in travel, tourism, and hospitality. But, you know, I was thinking today when I wasn't applying lipstick, because where am I going? You know, we've been producing for the first 5 months we were in isolation in Ireland. From the house we rented, Corner Cottage in Cairncastle, County Antrim, Northern Ireland. Oh, Lord, I hated leaving that place. And we produced about at least 70 interviews by telephone, plus all of my palaver and updates and insights into what's going on, helping you plant some seeds for when you're ready to tackle a trip, and giving you confidence in how you can travel now and maintain the highest level of safety possible. Because those of you who are longtime listeners, and you know, in July we go into our 20th year on the air. Can you believe that? And I am determined to stick in, people. And that's the reason I haven't been to my studio since we got home from Ireland in July. David Isby, our senior producer and crew, in rotation, take turns so nobody's in the studio at the same time because it's a small studio. And we have a good ventilation system there. And we've got a good ventilation system because my studio is at Hotel on North, on North Street in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And we've been, since March, producing... Well, really, since we went to Ireland in February, producing remotely. And I don't know how any of us would be surviving without the internet, without cell phones, without the ability to see people's faces. So, you know, when you're having a meeting with somebody, you can't tell everything by a tone of voice. So important to see somebody's face. And so we've been doing this, well, the next month will be a year remotely. Can you believe that? And so we're producing from home. When we went to the studio, we always took Aaron Go Woof, our English Springer Spaniel. Of course, in the Republic of Ireland, you just call her a Springer Spaniel. That's just how it's done. But in Northern Ireland, it would be an English Springer Spaniel, a very popular breed on the island of Ireland. And she's a rescue with some security issues. So we've never been able to leave her home. We have her about 2.5 years now. And she was 4 when we got her, but she cannot be left home alone. So when we would go to the studio, she'd be with us. And here at home, she's here. So if she happens to have something to say, you'll hear her voicing her opinion in the background. And I hope you don't mind, because I sure don't. I interviewed a lot of people who take their dogs to work. And people now who are working from home. And dogs and pussycats, they're all over the place. You hear them. They have a lot to say. But if you miss any part of today's programming, be sure to go to sabrams.net, sabrams.net, sabrams.net. If you're listening for the first time and you're in your car or at home, busy, and you don't have the time or inclination to jot down any information, but you'd like to listen to the archived audio of a show, or you'd like to download shows as podcasts, so you can take them wherever you're headed, whether it's another room in your house or you're getting in the car and going somewhere, Go to sabrams.net. It's all there. And we are podcast by every podcaster you can name. So if you've got a favorite podcaster, you can also find those links at sabrams.net. I think it's under About, as in About Stephanie Abrams. And you can just click right through. But if you go to the podcasts, you'll find links to Spotify. And you can click there and hear what you've missed. Those of you who have been longtime listeners, or at least listening since before Thanksgiving 2020, know how disturbed I was by some official person. And you know what a memory I have. I forget nothing. But when I caught this TV, actually it was a YouTube piece on somebody whose name was never put on the screen. So I don't know who he was. But he was in some official capacity telling people, do not travel. And you know, I'm the biggest coward in the world. I don't go anywhere. I might not come back the same or better. I'm the one watching everybody bungee jump. You'll never get me to do it. But I'll enjoy watching them. And I don't discourage them as long as they've done their own due diligence as to proper safety. But I don't think the right answer is don't travel. I think the right answer is travel safely. Do your homework. Check out with the places you're going to be going that they have a strong sanitation code that they follow religiously. And as much as possible, travel in your own car. The real alert is stay out of crowds. Don't exchange air with people. Keep your distance. Have your hand sanitizer in your pocket. Have latex gloves available. Wear a mask. But most of all, keep your distance. Don't go into a crowded hotel lobby. Don't get into an elevator with other people. And frankly, I wouldn't get into an elevator right after somebody just got off. Not going to happen. So look for accommodations where you can pull your car up to the door, do contactless check-in with the front desk, open your door, even spray the handle down, wear gloves, use a paper towel, do whatever to get in without touching the doorknob. And if you've talked with the hotelier in a place where you can get out of your car and walk right to the front door of your hotel accommodations, bypassing any lobby, bypassing any elevators. And I have to tell you, I always travel with travel-size containers of Lysol spray. Always have. There are too many ladies' rooms you couldn't penetrate without going in with your Lysol spray. It's that simple. But imagine you could get in your car at your front door, your car that nobody else has been inside but you. You can drive to wherever. You're using Easy Pass, whatever they call it, in Florida or up in Seattle or wherever you're located. There is some gizmo that goes on your window of your car and pays your tolls as you go through, charged to your account and your credit card, and arrive at a hotel where you drive up to the door and you go inside and you don't have to deal with other people. So why would you tell people don't travel if you can find means of traveling safely? And it seemed to me that one of the things, the travel industry was relying on seaborne cruises to have a very successful cruise. And I want to say it was back in October or November, something like that. It was the first ship going out and everybody had their fingers crossed because if that went well, the cruise industry was going to rip the lid off of cruising and really start promoting for 2021. But a couple of days out, all of these pre-tested, pre-temperature taken people, there were five incidents. A couple of staff and a few passengers came down with COVID. And the ship was in the Caribbean and trying to go back to Barbados where it started. Barbados didn't want to let them port and let the people off. And that's what happened the last time when people got stuck on ships for 30 days at a time because they wouldn't let the healthy people off and they wound up getting sick because they were stuck on a ship with people who were sick. So it means you're kind of limited in your on-the-water experience, which adds so much to any travel experience. And I thought, you know, what if you could go safely on ferries? Ferries that would help you cut the time of your travels, getting from one place to another, while adding an on-the-water experience that lands you somewhere at a dock where there are things to see where you're landing in that region on your way to wherever else you want to go. It seems to me, with your due diligence, and maybe you want to find yourself a really good travel agent who can give you some serious advice, otherwise you're going to be spending untold hours online researching hotels. And if you're going to do that, call and ask to speak to the general manager. And find out, what are you doing at your hotel to keep you and your staff and your guests safe? And we're going to go off to talk about being in the northeast of the U.S. and being able to travel and include a water experience where you can assure yourself you're going to be safe. And we're going to do that after these important messages, so don't leave me. We'll be right back.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I know many of you are getting very antsy. You either have a serious need to go somewhere because of some business or personal agenda, and you probably have a serious want, desire to go somewhere, and you're a little nervous about going anywhere. And that's really the key. You have to have the confidence to know that there are people out there who not only want your business, but they want you to survive and be well and come back again. So it is in their very best interest to take very good care of you and make sure that your experience is a healthy and happy one, in the most serious definitions of healthy and happy. Part of that being alive and not suffering any pain in any way as a result of your experience. And unlike those folks who are out there who are not from the travel industry and apparently have no idea what hoteliers and others, attractions, other kinds of suppliers in travel, car rental companies, ferry lines, are doing to assure a healthful experience for you. So it's real easy to say, don't travel. I don't know that that's the right answer. It's not the right answer for me. And that's because I have insider knowledge, but I want to share that with you. So you can make your own decisions. You can choose wisely. You know where you want to go, and you want to know how you want to get there and back in a healthy condition. And it relies on you, my darling listener, to do your due diligence and to not let your guard down for a second. Travel with all the paraphernalia that you need in order to stay healthy. And so we're going to talk right now with a company that I actually was using this company before. I think this was the name of it. The company is Cross Sound Ferry Services. And Cross Sound Ferry connects the southern shore of Connecticut with the north shore of Long Island. Although it's been a long time since I've been on their ferries. And so maybe there's more to that story we need to learn. So we have a family member and spokesperson for Cross Sound Ferry Services. And it's Stan Mikas on the line with us. I'm so glad we were able to connect, Stan. You really grew up in this family business, didn't you?
Yes, Stephanie. Thank you for having me on. I truly appreciate it. Yes, I did. I started working on the ferries at the young age of 16 years old as a deckhand. I actually did three jobs. I parked cars. I was a deckhand. I was a fill-in in the snack bar. And then I became the purser after a couple of years working on the boat. And I did that for 9 summers all through high school and college.
Well, you know, if it weren't a family business, some might say you were taking low-level jobs that were leading nowhere. And I'm so glad you mentioned your route to a position where you are essentially in charge of public relations for the company. But there are so many people whose parents frown on the idea of them taking a job at a hotel as a doorman, as a valet, parking cars, in the kitchen, in the dining room, in the housekeeping department, at the front desk even, because it doesn't sound glamorous and it doesn't sound like it's going anywhere exotic at an executive level. When in fact, wouldn't you say, Stan, and they correct me if I'm wrong, that those early experiences you had in the company put you in the best position to understand the company and how it operates and how it should operate?
Absolutely, Stephanie. It was an invaluable experience to do that. And I mean, I did everything. I cleaned toilets, mop floors. I mean, I did it all, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I rarely took any days off during the summer. I mean, there were a few summers where I never took a day off. I worked 7 days a week. I love the job. And sometimes I would just, if we had a long night, I would just sleep in the cruise cabin on the boat and get up in the morning and go back to work again. And it was enjoyable. I mean, and I met so many great people, and because we're a close-knit family business, as you mentioned, and there are many of those same guys that I worked with so 30 some odd years ago that
they're
are still
there.
Employees here, and many of them are captains.
Well, we're gonna take a quick commercial break, and we're gonna come right back because we have to talk about ferry travel. Don't leave me. This is Stephanie Abrams.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I am delighted to have on the line with me Stan Mikas. He is the spokesperson for Cross Sound Ferry Service, and they are located actually in New London, Connecticut, is where Stan is based, but you cross the Long Island Sound between Connecticut and Long Island, New York. At what points? Where do you have ferries running from and to?
So the two main ports, as you mentioned, are New London and Orient Point, Long Island, on the tip of the North Fork and the east end of Long Island. Those are the two terminal locations for the service. And you know, we operate in the busy times. We're operating boats almost every half hour back and forth between the two ports, and as many as 58 arrivals and departures a day.
Wow.
We also have a high speed ferry that runs up to 6 trips a day back and forth. And,
so how long does the regular ferry take to cross the Long Island?
Approximately 90 minutes.
And how long does the fast ferry take?
45.
What's the advantage other than a half an hour?
The fast ferry only takes passengers. So it's a niche market of people that are going back and forth that are either, when pre-COVID, were taking buses up to the two casinos in Connecticut here, Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun, or
oh cool,
we'll get picked up by a car, would connect with the Amtrak. We're our terminal in London is adjacent to the Amtrak railroad station, so people
oh man, that is brilliant. That is brilliant. Okay, people, listen, start planning a trip now for someplace down the line, because this one is fun. If you're in New York City and you're a visitor, if you have your own car, fine. If you don't have your own car, rent one and take a drive through Long Island. There are interesting places to stop on Long Island. Old Bethpage Restoration is one that comes to mind quickly. It's sort of like Sturbridge in Massachusetts, where maybe there's one or two that was actually on that property, but the preponderance of the houses and buildings at Old Bethpage Restoration were jacked up off their foundation and carted over to this colonial village. And that's a kind of fun place to go. There are wonderful beaches. You don't have to go find, and actually the beaches along the whole Jones Beach area, they are better than most of the beaches in the Caribbean. The sand is amazing. You've got great surf there. You've got well-trained lifeguards. So when that reopens and you're allowed to go, at this time of year, we're in the dead of winter. I used to love to go out to Jones Beach in the winter and walk on the beach in the winter. It is, especially in the fall, in the late fall, in November, early December, if there's no snow. But if you can get out there and take a walk on the beach in the winter, it is such a fun thing to do. And then wend your way out to Montauk Point and the lighthouse. And there's just so much along the way that would be of interest, even if you didn't get out of the car. And if you wanted to get out, there's a lot of open air, outdoorsy, nobody but you space. And so imagine, even if you were in your own car, if you had a car rental, maybe you'd want to return the car. There must be some place you can do that in the area around Orient Point, or you know where you're going to get on the ferry, or take your car on the ferry and go to the other side and go continue into New England and have some fun, or potentially at some point when you feel confident about it, leave your car, take the passenger ferry across to the other side, get on Amtrak and take yourself a trip on Amtrak. And there are many routes that you can take and go from there. I mean, what fun. You could really do a land, sea, and rail holiday and create some wonderful memories and experiences while staying very safe doing it. But let's talk about, and if you've just joined us, we're talking with Stan Mikus. He is the spokesperson for Cross Sound Ferry Service. You can check them out at longislandferry.com. And so let's say you went across with your car because you don't want to get on a passenger ferry. You want to be socially distanced from a whole lot of people. You don't really want to open the windows on your car if you can help it. So what is it that, I mean, that you provide from a healthful standpoint in this COVID environment, Stan?
Well, Stephanie, from the outset, we understood the significance of what was happening and the fact that, you know, we were deemed right away an essential business and an essential service because we're an interstate connection between New York and Connecticut. And even though we are a private company, you know, we're part of the America's Marine Highway System, that we had to take an initiative to protect our, you know, not only our passengers, but our employees as well. So we continue to operate the service, but at the same time, we dug in and did some research on different products that we could use or install that would be more than provide more redundancy than what was being asked of us to ensure the safety, like I said, of the of our passengers and employees, but also to create consumer confidence for people.
That's confidence really the people most that, important
and
thing.
I, and I could to back up to what you initially in your intro, I couldn't agree with you more about traveling. I mean, these don't travel edicts were, I mean, initially yes, okay, but then after a while, I mean people are wired to travel. They need experiences and they need to visit and they need to see and they also need to carry on with their daily lives. So saying don't travel just doesn't work. So I agree with you wholeheartedly on the whole travel safely, do your homework, sanitizer, protect yourself, be smart, protect yourself, and we're doing what we can.
But what is it that you're doing? What is it that you're actually doing? What are the specifics of how you are protecting both staff and passengers?
Okay, so you mentioned the whole, most of the people that take our ferry travel with their vehicles. So right away we received a waiver from the Coast Guard to allow passengers to stay inside their vehicles while on board.
And normally, except when I've gone on ferries that were like a 5-minute crossing. There's one in Ireland between Talbert is the name of the where the ferry port is, and the other side is Kilmer, and it takes you across the Shannon Estuary, which is this little skinny strip of water, and it takes about 5 minutes to cross. If it's more, it's 6 minutes. I mean, it's this little tiny, and you don't get out of the car. And there's one in Essex, New York, that takes you across the lake. And that also, you don't get out of the car, unless you want to, but there's really no place to go. But most ferries that are, I'm going to say, 20 minutes or longer, you're normally required to get out of the car. So, you know, it's wonderful that the Coast Guard made the determination that, you know, the risk involved in letting people sit in the car is a better bet than the risk of letting them mingle with other people and getting sick. So bravo to everybody who came to a sensible conclusion with that one.
No, it was a very easy transition. It worked out very well. It's working out very well. So that was one thing we initiated. Obviously, you know, based on the executive orders of both the governors of New York and Connecticut, we require masks once on premises. We initiated hands-free ticketing, so there was no touching of.
So what's the procedure?
You make a reservation online.
So that's LongIslandFerry.com.
LongIslandFerry.com. You get a barcode confirmation. You can drive up to our facility, and the guys are out front. The attendants are out front. You don't have to open your window. You can take your barcode, stick it up to the window. We have the guy has a scanner. The attendant has a scanner. He scans it, and then you go on board. It validates your confirmation, your reservation, and then on you go.
So that's fabulous.
Touchless ticketing.
Right. So you stay in your car, and you got your windows closed,
yep.
And frankly, if there's nobody around, you could open your windows if it's, you know, a nice day.
Sure, of course.
Because, if the car next to you has their, if the driver is next to a passenger window of the next car in the aisle next to you of cars lined up on the ferry, if their window's closed, you can open yours. I mean, it's not a bad deal.
Yeah, yep.
And you have a little respite. I mean, there is something lovely and different and rejuvenating about crossing a body of water. And
exactly.
So,
yeah.
Now, if there are people who have already been vaccinated or they've had COVID and the vaccination and somehow they feel protected enough, and maybe there aren't a whole lot of people congregated in any one spot, in normal circumstances, you know, pre-COVID, meaning normal, what would you do during the 45 minutes or 90 minutes that you would be on the ferry if you were able to get out of your car or wanted to get out of your car?
Most people wander up to the, I mean, our passenger cabins are very well appointed. They're very comfortable. The lounges, the, we have, you know, we have bar areas, booth seating. It's very comfortable. You mentioned in your intro that you probably traveled with us before it was even Cross Sound, which prior to Cross Sound.
Oh yeah.
Owning it in 1975, it was New London Freight Lines, and they were a fleet of converted LSM military boats. But I mean, now we have the boats are all very comfortable. You know, we try to do everything we can to make it basically a no-brainer for somebody that's traveling between Long Island and Eastern New England that they want to take the ferry, because it's just it's not only the shorter way to go, it's the more comfortable and convenient way to go. So,
oh God, and the traffic that it cuts out going down through, you know, Bridgeport, Stamford. I hear Amtrak. I hear the train in the background on your end.
Yeah, no, my office abuts the. I don't have a water view. I have a view of the tracks, and the train is literally, probably, maybe 200 feet from my office window, and now two of them are going by and passing each other.
And they're saying hello as they go. It's adorable.
They are. Yeah. So it's a true intermodal connection here in New London with trains, ferries, and the interstate highway, which is right, you know, about a quarter mile from the terminal here. So it's a straight shot to get onto 95. Well,
yeah. And the thing is, whichever direction you're going, whether you're going from New England southward or you're going from New York northward, going out with the ferry system to go to Connecticut cuts out that whole U shape that would take you into all the high traffic area of Southern Connecticut, and, you know, going into through the area that, you know, you'd go through a piece of the Bronx and, you know, wind up in New York City traffic. And, you know, what an ideal thing to be able to do. And to add a special experience. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come right back because I have a few more questions for Stan Mikus, spokesperson for Cross Sound Ferry Services, that'll get you from New England into New York, going northward or southward, whichever direction in style. We'll be right back. Don't leave me.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I am delighted to have Stan Mikus on the line with me. He is the man in the know at Cross Sound Ferry Service, which runs ferries between Southern Connecticut, the shoreline area of Connecticut that abuts the Long Island Sound, and Long Island. And I have to tell you, if you're in New England and you want to head southward, it's a really lovely way to avoid that whole Southern Connecticut, New York City, highly trafficked area. It isn't even the driving around it so much as it is getting stuck in traffic. And you can almost, I mean, I've lived in the Northeast Corridor most of my life, except for probably 8 years of my life, I have lived in the Northeast and split in the North between New York and Massachusetts. And it isn't even the driving that's the bother. It's when you get somewhere and you might as well just turn the engine off because you're just sitting, going nowhere. And it's so frustrating. So to be able to, you know, continue a trip and give yourself, you know, more choices as to how do you navigate from one end to the other. And of course, if you want to make time and you're going to get on one of the highways that goes east-west on Long Island, do it between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. So you are avoiding rush hour on Long Island. I lived on Long Island a big chunk of my life. So I know from whence I speak. But after 3 o'clock, you've got the schools getting out. You've got some big industry that closes between 3 and 4 in the afternoon because they come in early in the morning. So that midday is when you want to get on the road, and you'll eliminate all kinds of traffic. But I do want to encourage you to take advantage of the sights and the sounds that Long Island has to offer, both in landscapes and seascapes and venues that just check everything out, people. Check it out. Keep your distance. Wear your mask. Wear your latex gloves. Have your disinfectant gel in your pocket. Do what you have to do. Wash your hands often. Pay attention. Pay attention. And you can do this. And pay attention to where are you staying and who are you giving your business to? How are they maintaining cleanliness? So, Stan, let's go back to that. How are you maintaining cleanliness? Is there a routine between, you mentioned you've got, a bundle of crossings of the Long Island Sound every day. How are you keeping the boats sanitized?
So the boats are in dock approximately a half hour, give or take, 5 to 10 minutes during each trip. So the boat unloads. After it unloads, we've got this time. So the crew instantly goes around and cleans everything. The protocol has obviously increased significantly since COVID. So everything is clean, wiped down, everything, doorknobs, it's very intense before we even load one person onto the boat. We've increased the number of hand sanitizing stations. We had hand sanitizers on board. I think we tripled the number of hand sanitizers on board. We also have dispensers for cleansing wipes on board for passengers that want to wipe the surfaces down themselves prior to sitting. So we have those on there as well. We've X'd off booths and seats to ensure social distancing on board. Obviously, I mentioned previously about masks, staying in your vehicle. And then the most recent initiative we undertook was we did research in the market on these air purifying systems, and we found a couple of systems that fit our needs, and they've been proven to disable viruses. And what it does, we put them into the HVAC systems on the boats, and they essentially scrub the air coming in and then purify it, and then the air coming out is virus free, bacteria free.
Wow.
And these are in all the cabins on all of the vessels. The HVA systems are obviously around in all the cabins and all the vessels. These systems have been installed in every single HVAC system and every radiator.
Wow.
on board the boats.
And people, if you're really, really, really obsessive, compulsive, concerned the way I am, stay in your car. Drive your car onto the ferry. Take the ferries that take cars on board. Keep your windows closed. Do a contactless check-in, and you don't contact anybody, so you have nothing to worry about. That's amazing. We have so much more in store for you today. People, stay with me. This is Stephanie Abrams, and we're flying high.